Welcome to this audio podcast from the Archives and Records Management Department of Simon Fraser University. The purpose of this podcast is to answer frequently asked questions from records creators around the university about records management. Every employee of the university is responsible for creating records in the course of their work, and we want to answer your questions quickly so that you know all you need to know to create great records that can be used today, tomorrow, and maybe even 50 years in the future. This is episode 2, How to Read an RRSDA, the quick version. In this episode, we'll look at each section of the RRSDA and talk about the information it contains. If you need more information about any section, please listen to the long version. RRSDAs, or more simply, retention schedules, are policy documents about a specific type of record. At the very top of the retention schedule, you have the basic information section. This includes the number of the retention schedule, as well as the record series name, which is like a title. The record series is the name of the group of records that the retention schedule is describing. Also in the basic information section of the retention schedule is a statement of who is the OPR. OPR stands for the Office of Primary Responsibility. This is where you find out if your department is the office that has the official and authoritative version of this type of record for the entire university. If you have questions about OPR, please listen to the long version. So the main questions that you want to ask yourself when you're looking at the basic information section are, is this the right number, or does this retention schedule have a title that makes sense for the type of record that you're looking at? And is my department the OPR for this type of record? If not, keep on looking, because this is not the retention schedule that you were looking for. The second section of the retention schedule is the record period section. This is the table near the top of the retention schedule. This is where you find information about all the retention periods for the records of this series, including the active retention period, the semi-active retention period, the total retention, and the final disposition. The active retention period tells you how long you should keep this type of record in your office. The active retention period is expressed as CY or CS plus some amount of years or terms. CY refers to the year that you stop adding records to that file. If you have any questions about when to close a file, please listen to the long version. And then you have the semi-active period. If there's a semi-active period for your group of records, that means that you can box up the paper records and send them for storage at the University Records Center. The semi-active period tells you how long those records will be kept in the University Records Center. Your department can retrieve those records anytime they like during the semi-active period. The total retention is the total amount of time that your department should retain the records, whether they're in your office, whether they're stored on a shared drive or stored on backup, or whether they're stored in the University Records Center. When the total retention period has been reached, your department should no longer have those records. That brings us to the last part of the retention section, final disposition. Final disposition tells you whether those records should be transferred to the archives, permanently deleted, or confidentially destroyed if they're paper records. If the final disposition column says selective retention or full retention, that means that those records need to be sent to the archives. If they are paper records, all you have to do is send them to the University Records Center, and we'll take care of transferring the records to the archives when the total retention has been reached. If your records are digital, and the final disposition column says selective retention or full retention, then contact us about how to transfer your records to the digital archives. And finally, if the final disposition column says destruction, that means that the paper records will be confidentially destroyed, either by you or by us in the University Records Center. and that your digital records need to be permanently deleted when the total retention has been reached. The third section of the retention schedule is the description of the record series. In this section, we capture some basics about this type of record, including the purpose that it serves and how it gets created in the university. You'll often find here some cross-references to other related retention schedules that may be applicable. In the fourth section, we have a list of authorities. The authorities are the laws, policies, or regulations, or other rules that need to be followed for this type of record. The fifth section is called the retention rationale. This section is a brief explanation of how the total retention period has been determined and what laws or regulations apply. Lastly, the retention and filing guidelines section. This section often contains helpful tips about how to organize records of this type so that it's easier to either pull the records and send them to the University Record Center, or to identify them for deletion if they're electronic, or to identify when it's time to transfer them to the digital repository for permanent preservation. And that covers all the sections of the retention schedule, including the basic introductory section, the retention period section, the description of the record section, the authority section, the retention rationale, and the retention and filing guidelines section. That brings us to the end of this podcast on how to read an RRSDA. This podcast has been brought to you by the Archives and Records Management Department of Simon Fraser University. This audio file was created in June 2015. The archival audio clips are part of the SFU archives and may be found in the F160 font. This audio file is licensed under the Creative Commons license CC BY-NC and may be freely reused and repurposed for non-commercial uses.
This is nuclear music, produced by taping signals from the nuclei in molecules in liquids. It was recorded for the first time in Canada by a team of scientists at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia, the university of today and for tomorrow.